Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from this series, Pathways, Crossroads, and the Desired Destination.
Job chapter number 2, verse 3 chapter 3 through 1. Amen. You read real loud, and if I drop out, and I'm going to drop out, I ask you to read real loud, real clear. Amen. That we can hear you. Amen. We can hear you. Amen. What you declare. Amen. The word of the Lord to be good to see. Amen. Everybody in the house of the Lord today. Let's read the word of the Lord. Amen. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and he still holdeth fast his integrity? Continue.
Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great.
Chapter 3, verse 1, and after this, opened Job his mouth, and he cursed his day. Interesting. Father, thank you for the word that you hid in my heart. For these next few minutes, let me speak as an oracle. Let me declare your truth. Let me say what it is that you have me to say. Let me declare it in a way, oh God, that it is speaking, amen, the truth in love. Amen. And then let me, oh God, be your oracle. Speak to your people. Give them ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Then we will be built up in our most holy faith, that we will know how to stir up the gift of God that is within us. Lord, you said faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. Let us preach in a way that they hear the word of the Lord. Let them hear the word of the Lord, that their faith increases. Build us up, God, that we would then, as the priests of the Lord, not only stand before you, God, but then we'll be, oh God, build up, God, in our most holy faith. But then we can go to, amen, the workplace and make impact through impartations that we received while we was here. Thank you, Father. In this season, you're doing so much more with your word. Send it, heal us, deliver, set us free forever. And we'll declare that you did it. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. Thank you, minstrels. Hold with me for a minute, hold it, and then I'll let you know at the point that, amen, that I release you. Amen. Somebody say with me, the others, the others. Come on, somebody open your mouth and say, the others. For a few moments today, I want to talk about the others. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, two are better than one because they have their reward for their labor. For if they fail, or if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Two are better than one. Going back to Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. Two are better than one. for they have their good reward of labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe is him that is alone when he falleth, for he have another to help him again. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Single folks, don't y'all go nowhere with that. And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4, another book of wisdom, verse 9 through 12. I believe with all of my heart, God has designed us to be wrecking balls all by ourselves and with him inside of us. Stay with me. Tell your neighbor you're a wrecking ball. That's what the enemy is afraid of, that you get the awareness that you are a wrecking ball. Amen. For greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Amen. All by yourself, you are a wrecking ball. God designed it that way. Yet, two are able to put many more to flight. I'm going somewhere. All by yourself, you are a wrecking ball. You bad all by yourself. But when you join two together, now one scripture says 10,000 shall be put to flight. We bad by ourselves, but we are something bad when we are joined to another. We're wrecking ball all by ourselves. When two are joined together, we're able to put more to flight. Ecclesiastes says a threefold cord indicates divine unity, divine friendships, ordained relationships. These are that which becomes unbreakable forces. When you give me a threefold cord, I'll show you where divine assignments are being completed. I'll show you where principalities are being cast down. Oftentimes, why principalities rule over regions is because one church or one autonomous spiritual organization tries to fight against a principality, that it's going to take at least two of us to do that. That's why the enemy fights to keep the black church against the white church, and the white church against the black church, and the Asian church against the Asian church, the Spanish church. He loves when we do that. And we don't find that we are one universal entity. And regardless of your difference in how you speak the language or your color or your skin tone, amen, two are still better than one. And a threefold cord can cast down principalities in high places. It can cause occupation of territories. And it can become realistic that principality can't work in that region no longer because of the unity of the Christian community. The enemy knows this. He's scared to death when two churches start working together. He's frightened when two families form an alliance that we're going to cover each other's back. He loves it when we're doing this with one another. Mark 23 says, and he called unto them, and he said unto the parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided in itself, a kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, it cannot stand. If Satan rise up against himself and he be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house by the spirit of division and disunity. One of the key principles in these wisdom book and the book of Job that we must pay attention to is as how our words and actions agree or disagree when we have someone connected to us that's living through a Job-like situation. We must never forget that we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. And y'all looking at me in that tone now. And it comes to the book of Job that we find out that they're called his friends. But Jared, after studying this, I don't know if we got the right title for them. Y'all are reading now. Didn't I encourage y'all to read the book of Job? I'm trying to wonder now that people that, you know, these Bibles that people put, y'all have Bibles that people put titles. And if you look over the different friends, the different names of Job's associates, two reasons, Andre, that I'm questioning it. Two reasons. Number one is because when you dig out the dynamics, and I'm going to do that in a second, of what they bring to Job's table, you really my friend? And one theologian digs it out that if you study the historiology of their words, and I hope I'm saying that word right, if you study the historiology of their words, they were Edomites. What in the world Job doing friends with Edomites? They'll turn on you. Y'all are looking at me in that tone of voice. Job has a starting five, and I got to get done. This is one of the arguably the most excellent presentation in literature, what theologians say, because of its language and because of its intricate structure. But what I dig out is something very simple is, let's look at these five teammates. The first one is Job. We can't look at the teammates without looking at Job, and that's found in Job 1 and 1. And then when we read Job chapter 2, Job 2 says nearly the exact same thing about Job that Job 1 says about Job, because I believe the law of second mention is here, that is even more precedent when God mentions something twice. And Job quickly forgets what God said about him. He excused evil. He's upright in his heart. He's perfect and he's upright. This is what God continually says about Job. Come here, guys. Come here. Come a little bit closer. What is God saying about you that you are ignoring? Because truthfully, the other teammates, they only can go to certain levels when you pay attention to what God's saying about you. If necessary, because of you listening to that voice, you can tell them to come on, get on my back. I'll carry us in this season. I need to ask y'all again, because it's mentioned the second time, nearly the exact statement about Job. What is God saying about you that you are ignoring? You're powerful. You're a prophet of the Lord. You're an excellent wife. You're a great husband. You are a powerful father. I don't know if we know this. You know that God speaks, right? And when he speaks, he talks about us oftentimes. What is he saying about us? And if we can't hear it, amen, because of something going on with our hearing the Lord, all we got to do is pick it up here and we'll start reading a whole lot of stuff he said. I wish I had time. I'd go into what he said about the New Testament priest in 1 Peter. He says, you peculiar, you're a holy priesthood. You are royal. I wish I had time. Revelation picks it up and says, you are a king and you are a priest. So what is God saying to you, Job, that's sitting under the sound of my voice, that you are ignoring? Can I go a little deeper for a minute? Whenever we are ignoring what God is saying about us, every other voice starts to get louder and louder. Miss what I just said. Every time we ignore what God is saying about us, every other voice starts getting louder and louder. The critique, the criticizers, the haters, those that are trying to bring us down, amen, those that whatever, amen. Every time we ignore God's voice, them other voices are starting to be magnified. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God said some stuff about you that you need to rehearse. God said something about you. You need to rehearse. They don't even know you that well. So why are you believing that about yourself? Huh? And we've all done it sometimes because we rehearsed what we heard they said over and over in our mind, now it's now bigger than what God is saying. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, that ain't you. That ain't you. Okay, I got to move, all right? Number one, the first, and I don't know if I, Ernest, I don't know if I call Job the point forward or point guard, but he's one of these starting five. And there are some particular things about this point forward, this point guard that you got to understand is he had mastered his priestly responsibility. He had mastered his priestly responsibility. If I ask you, amen, three things that I taught Tuesday night for Bible study, could y'all remember what are our priestly responsibilities? There's only three of them. Could y'all spit them back to me? I'm keep moving. You can't master what you don't know. Job had mastered his priestly responsibility. Go with me. Amen. He was a point forward. He was a point guard. Job loved his family. Job loved his family. Job understood the importance of godly connections and godly relationships. And let me sidebar for real quickly so we can understand what godly connection and godly relationship and family is for. It has a threefold assignment. It is for us to be kept, it's for us to be made better, and it's for us to be safety through godly counsel and when enemy appears at the gate. Why do I have godly relations? Why do I have godly connections? Why do I have family? I'm going to tell you again. It is for us to be kept. It is for us to be made better. And it's for us to be safe through godly counsel and strength when enemy is standing at the gate. That's why we have connections. That's why we have relationship. That's why we have family. Every now and then, we have to look and we have to ask our connections, amen, our relationships, our family, do you know you're supposed to help me in being kept? You don't supposed to let me wild out. You're supposed to bring me back in through your counsel. And when the enemy is at the gate, I should feel stronger because I feel you standing beside me. This is what godly relations, this is what godly connection, this is what family is supposed to be about. Job values this. This is important to Job. He performs his priestly responsibilities to make sure these things stay intact. Never devalue what God has given to us for our betterment, for our safety, I will, for us being strong when the enemy is at the gate. There are certain animals that travel in packs so they won't even be attacked. It's much easier, y'all stay with me, for the enemy to pick us off when we out there floating by ourselves. But it's much tougher for the enemy to pick us off when we have somebody asking us, where were you at last night? Have you been praying this week? How you doing with your fasting life? How is your money? And I know we put up defensive barriers when some people ask this question, but we need to put them down because they're trying to make sure that we're kept. They're trying to make sure that we are protected. This is what Job values. In fact, Solomon, if this is the writer of Proverbs 17, picks it up and says, a friend loves it at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Never devalue. You asked me to say it again, Elder Kwesi. Never devalue what God has given to us that we might be better. He gave us relationships that we might be better. He gave us relationships and connections so we might be kept. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us blameless before the Lord. Never devalue. That will be the very thing that saves your life when the enemy calls you to try to devalue. Job is the point guard. Job is the point forward. Every one of us, when we are the Job in the game, we must understand the importance of hearing to God's voice. And Job is established who he is because he over and over confirmed that I am who he says I am. So the first player, point guard, point forward that we have to understand is Job. The second one, and Wise, please don't get mad at me because I know y'all gonna look at me now. The second voice, the second player that we have to give attention to is Job's wife. And I knew it was gonna be just like that when I said that. And so I'll walk lightly here. Our closest confidant will always be the wild card in our lives. Yeah, that's what I see. Our closest confidant will always be the wild card in our lives. Everything with them is predicated upon the voices that are influencing the way they speak to us. Husband and wives, please listen. But I'm not really secluding you. Because some single folks in here, you got a wild card too. Our closest confidant is the wild card. Everything with them is predicated upon the voice or the voices that are influencing what they speak unto us. Job 1, and I didn't write it, y'all, so y'all please don't get mad at me. Job's closest confidant said unto him, curse God and die. He's going through the worst test of his life. It was not just her children that they lost. It was his children as well. It was his substance. In fact, I wish I had a little bit more time. I would dig out what Satan really went after his substance for, because now he could no longer perform his priestly sacrifice because everything he sacrificed with was now gone. His sheep and his cattle. It was Job going through the experience, and his closest confidant says unto him, curse God and die. That's why I call her the wild card. I wish I had time. I'd look over into Matthew chapter number 16, because this is not the first time a wild card changed up on a Job. It was another J in the book of Matthew that they're walking down the road one day, and Jesus is saying, who y'all say I am? Who am I? Who do men say that I am? And Peter stands up and Peter says real loudly, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus looks at Peter, one of his closest confidants. There was three of them, but Peter is one of the closer ones. He says to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is heaven. He speaks with a revelatory nature of who Christ is. But the story does not end there. If you skip down a few more verses, Jesus is saying, now I have to prepare to go to the cross. I am going to die. And this same Peter looks at him and says, you're going to never die. I ain't going to let it happen. And Jesus has to turn to him and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, for you savor not the things that be of God. His closest confidant has now become the wild card. I know y'all really don't want to hear this, but I got to tell you, because you got to start in five. And you may be in the Job in this story. And the only voice you will listen to is your closest confidant. And she's telling you, he's telling you, I'm not being gender exclusive here. It is whoever the closest voice, the loudest voice, is telling you to do something that disagrees with this. Our closest confidant will always be the wild card. Job says, you speak it as a foolish woman. Shall we receive good of the Lord and not receive and not receive evil? His theology is off right here, because God did not bring the evil. And I ain't got time to do that. But his theology is off in this, but he did not sin. We have to be able, stay with me. It's going to get better. Stay with me. I don't care how close we are to people. And the young lady that called me this morning, she was talking to me. She said, Pastor Lawrence, I've never seen a time that I got to now discern my closest friends. Because one that bad decision caused me 20 years of pain. Listening to the wrong voice can now affect 20 years of your life. And sometimes, and I know y'all don't want me to go here, but I'm going to go here. Sometimes we have to look at the people around us and we have to ask, who are you listening to? Because this is not what Job's wife ought to be saying. Curse God and die. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I can't do that.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.